Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Championship Roundtable. I'm your host, Jake Jackman, and you can reach us at the show by emailing us at championshiproundtable@gmail.com. It's going to be a slightly different show today where we had a few technical issues, so it's just going to be me and Ben. So if you want to introduce yourself, Ben.
Hi, yeah, this is Benjamin Bloom of the Blue Monday podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Blue Monday ITFC. You can follow me on Twitter at Benjamin Bloom. Is it still a round table if there's only two of us? Is it a rectangular table now?
I don't know. It's probably just one of those, a square table, a rectangular table, something like that. But yeah, we'll start off with yesterday's games. You can talk about Ipswich first if you like. A disappointing loss. What were your thoughts on the game?
Oh my God. So we were up against Fulham. Fulham, ninth place Fulham. We were in 15th at the start of the day. Fulham had won four on the trot. Ipswich off the back of an away win 3-2 at Wigan the previous week. We knew we were worried about the Fulham centre midfield of Kearney, Johansson and McDonald. And we were in the game for, I reckon, about 11 minutes. And then Fulham took over. And my God, it was very, very, very one-sided. I think they did 69% possession. We did not register a shot on target. Without exaggerating, they could have won 6 or 7-0. Aiete, their kind of right-sided forward, had a nightmare and missed about four sitters. McDonald missed two chances in the first half. They actually scored both their goals from set plays, a free kick from Martin, and then Sigurdsson headed a corner in. But we were very, very, very well beaten. And as has been the case at Portman Road, when the second goal went in, we want our Ipswich back, and Mick McCarthy, your football is, and Evans sort it out. The natives got very, very restless, but it wasn't really that much of a surprise to anybody. It's just we were playing Fulham, ninth in the championship, not Arsenal or Barcelona, which is how we made them look, Jake.
Yeah, it was a bit of a, you know, I guess I expected Fulham to go there and win. Whether that says more about Ipswich than Fulham, I don't know. But if you look at your recent matches, you know, the only two wins you've had are against QPR and Wigan, and then before that it was against Sheffield Wednesday, which I guess was a big win as well, probably one that kept Mick McCarthy in the job a bit longer. But ones against QPR and Wigan, they're two teams that are struggling as well, and maybe it is getting to that point where Ipswich maybe could do a managerial change. Do you think that is something that you would want in, and do you think that who would you think that you'd get in if you did get rid of McCarthy?
Oh, goodness. It's a very, very broad question. I mean, last time I was on the pod, we were in this, although that was after the Sheffield Wednesday game, so off the back of a win. It's very difficult. Again, we don't know what Mick's being told by Marcus Evans. We've just had the club AGM. We've reported a £6 million loss for the financial year. Obviously, that doesn't include the Daryl Murphy sale, which was in August, which will be registered in this financial year. If he's been given zero money, then we can't judge him on investment. What we can judge him on is we've just seen Slavisa Jokanović show up with a team where all of the back four and the goalie are comfortable on the ball, where they look to pass the ball. The midfield was fluid. Johansson was up and down. The front three, Aluko, Martin and Aiete, switch positions. So if that's what a managerial philosophy gives to players, then it doesn't look great for Mick. As you said, oh, that win maybe kept him in the job. It just feels like teetering on the edge the whole time. We think if we'd lost to Rotherham a couple of months ago at home when they were bottom and, you know, on a terrible, terrible run, maybe he would have gone then. It was a 2-2 draw with a 95th-minute goal. The truth is, I don't think we'll get relegated because Rotherham are terrible, Wigan are terrible, Burton don't have much resources, and there are other teams. The one thing McCarthy can do is shut out and not concede goals for a while. There are other teams with far, far worse defences. So, unfortunately, I think he's on a nice high wage. He's got 18 months left. I think it's going to cost him about $1.5 million to fire him. So, unless they obviously agree a package, but he says he's not going to walk. Doesn't look like he's going anywhere, Jake, unless the team drops into the bottom three. As I say, it looks like there's only one place down there. There's Blackburn, Burton, QPR, Cardiff, Forest and Bristol City between us and the bottom two. And 8 points gap. So I don't think we're going to get relegated. I mean, we could drop closer and closer, but I don't think he's going anywhere is the long answer. And then you'll get into next season and it'll be much cheaper to fire him. Maybe that's what Evans thinks with regards to a new manager. It's just got to be someone who the philosophy's just got to flip on its head, I think. It's got to be young players in. It's got to be training people to be comfortable on the ball, to take risks, to play attacking and not be scared of leaving their position or taking a risk with a pass. That's all the fans want to see. Whether that manager is around, although you see how Huddersfield are playing with a manager nobody'd heard of a year ago, and you kind of think, well, we could try that. Or you see how Barnsley are scoring loads of goals, and Hourihan and Winnall, and I mean even Burton score a few, you know. It's just the philosophy really, but I can't see him leaving really, unless there's a spate of say 5 defeats on the trot. But you know, even then, I don't see him going. Yeah,
I'd agree with you that I don't think there's much chance that Ipswich will go down this season. If you look at who's down there, you said Wigan and Rotherham both look pretty doomed. Burton is struggling. You have Blackburn and QPR seem to be falling out of nowhere with 6 defeats on the bounce after making a managerial change themselves. So I don't think you'll go down. And 12 points off the playoffs as well. Is there a real need to go and make that change? And maybe,
Jake, what I will say as well, sorry to cut you off, next two games are actually Bristol City at home, who are at 17th, and QPR away, but they've lost 6 on the trot, including a defeat to us, as you pointed out. The saving grace is that you've got people like Owen Coyle and Ian Holloway managing the teams below us. So it may look like that, you know, Mick McCarthy may be bad, but, you know, don't see those teams storming past us to put us in the third bottom relegation spot. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I agree with you completely. I think it might be better to wait for the summer to make a change if you are going to make a change and bring somebody in, get them let them have a whole pre-season with the players, get their own players in and things like that. That might be a better strategy. And maybe that is what you are going to do. We'll wait and see on that one. But just moving on to Newcastle yesterday. Obviously, we lost to Sheffield Wednesday. I think it was our 6th defeat of the season, which is quite incredible.
You've lost more home games than
Ipswich. Yeah, it's quite an incredible stat, really. We're now second in the league. Brighton jumped over us today with their 3-0 win against QPR. So, yeah, it was a disappointing one. I think on reflections of the game, they definitely deserved it. They came with a game plan. There was a lot of fouls and sort of stopped us from playing. And then on the counter-attack, they played very well. They were always the first to the second ball and they deserved a win. They probably could have scored 3 or 4 on the day. Carl Darlow was absolutely superb. So it was just a disappointing performance. But it is worrying that we keep losing these games at home. Like you say, we've lost I think we've lost more home games than the rest of every other side in the top half, and I'm sure a lot in the bottom half as well. So it's a little bit concerning. I don't know why it would be. Maybe
did you miss Shelvey?
Yeah, I'd say we did. Jack Colback came in, but he doesn't have the range of passing that Shelvey does. Shelby's ran a lot of games this season with his passing, and even when he's not having a great game, he can spot a pass that few others can in the league. So I'd definitely say we missed him, but I think it would be too easy to attribute the loss just to that. We should have players that could come in and do a job, even if Shelby's not playing. But yeah, it was just a lackluster performance. I'd say it was the first time this season that we've genuinely been outplayed in a match, which... it's concerning, but the one thing I will say is with the January transfer window coming up, I'm sure that there's going to be more spending done, and which is probably going to anger a lot of other fans. But yeah, it was just disappointing. But I'm not too worried. A lot of fans are talking about six defeats is too many. It probably is, but you know, we are second in the table. We don't draw many games. I think that's our problem. We've only drawn once this season. So it seems like the players, once they do go behind, they maybe don't have that ability to fight back. But
do you think, Jake, it will put a bit of a firework up them to, you know, everyone's been saying for 3 months, oh, Newcastle head and shoulders are the best team in the league. Well, at the halfway point, they're not, and it, you know, it might be what they need to, you know, go and challenge. I mean, if you look at the table though, those two at the top are, I'm looking at the goal difference alone, 24 and 27, no one else is anywhere near, and they're still both hit 2 points per game, haven't they? So Maybe this will sting them into another big winning run.
Yeah, hopefully it will. We've got Nottingham Forest coming up, and then we've got Blackburn, two teams that beat us earlier in the season. So they've got a chance to sort of redeem themselves, win a couple in a row, and then maybe get a Brighton, because I think Brighton have some tricky fixtures. But I mean, it's understated how well Brighton have been playing. I mean,
but I think I think Newcastle have dragged them to that. That's the funny thing; they've overtaken them. I think they've been sitting there with no pressure on them, just kind of trying to cling on to Newcastle's coattails. And all of a sudden, what have Newcastle? 3 defeats in 6. And they've actually got ahead of them, amazingly.
Yeah, it's quite amazing how well they've done. I think they haven't lost since September. I think that's what I read earlier. That's incredible. They've only lost twice all season. One of them was against us. But, I mean, they're on for 100 points if they keep it. Keep it as they are, which would be amazing. I think that they're definitely going to be one to go up. They'd have to, you know, really chuck it away to not finish in those top two now. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I'm sure Newcastle will be back. We've got a couple of winnable games, I'll say. Although they both beat us earlier in the season, Forest and Blackburn aren't too much to write home about. So I'm confident of getting a couple of wins to get back in it.
Can I ask? Sorry, Jake. Go ahead. Two questions. Are you a bit worried? Because we were looking at Newcastle on our pod. It seems that Gale literally scores all the goals. I think he's got 17 and the next nearest guy's got 4 or something. And the second question is, what treatment is Mr. Lansbury going to get from your supporters when he comes up with Forest?
Yeah, I'll go over the first one to start with. Gale, yeah, I'm not too concerned. We've got Mitrovic on the bench. He can score goals when he has come in. He scored a couple at Preston. He got a hat-trick against Preston in the cup. I think he's got a couple more throughout the year as well. So I'm not too concerned about that. We've got Murphy as well, who hasn't played a great deal, which maybe will disappoint you after you sold him to us. But a lot of fans were calling for him yesterday. They thought it would be a game that would have suited him well. Yeah, a lot of fans were talking about Murphy. They thought that where it was a more physical game, that he might have, you know, been better suited to it with his experience. So yeah, maybe he's going to get a run out in the next few matches. I wouldn't be overly surprised. When he has played, he played against Hull in the cup. He did all right. He nearly scored. So I'd be hoping that he gets another chance. But there's talk that we're going to bring in a few attacking players in January. So we'll see what happens there. We've got quite a few going away to the African Cup of Nations. So I'm not overly concerned, because I think there are goals across the team. But I guess on paper, it does look to be one. And on Lansbury, I'm sure he's not going to get a good reception at St. James's Park. Yeah, it didn't help that Rafa Benitez picked him out after that game and sort of blamed both red cards on him. And then since then, everything he does has been sort of commented on by Newcastle fans on Twitter. So I'm sure he's going to get a bit of
reaction.
You
know, everything Rafa says is done for a reason as well, don't you?
Exactly, yeah. His comments probably got those two red cards rescinded, to be fair. So
yeah, I was quite surprised, actually, about... I thought... who was the one that kicked out? It was Shelby. I was quite surprised that got rescinded, actually.
Yeah, I was as well. I didn't think that one was. Yeah. I thought the other one may have done, but yeah, the Shelby one. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Lansbury. I'm sure he might be coming to St. James Park again before the end of the season, because there's a lot of talk he's going to be on the move in January, so we might see him again.
Good player, yeah, very, very good player.
He's a very good player. He's the type of player that you want to have in your side, though, rather than against
it. Right, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but just moving on to the end of the year now, obviously, it's coming up to the end of the year. We've got, I think, one game left in 2016. So I just want to ask you, how do you assess how Ipswich have finished the year as opposed to how they started it?
Oh, well, chalk and cheese, really. We started the year with, you know, we must have been in the top six, I'm guessing. Yeah, we beat QPR on... actually, do you know what? We beat QPR on Boxing Day last year. We actually won away at Brighton in the next match, which, you know, the idea of doing that a year on is just, you know, inconceivable. Obviously, from that team... the football's dropped off a little bit. Not that they were playing great football then, it was still very up and at them. Murphy has gone, and it looks like some of the body language of some of the players, I don't know, a little bit of the chutzpah and the fight has kind of gone out of them. Like you pointed out, we haven't really beaten anybody. You know, we beat Barnsley on the opening day, we beat Preston by one, you know, we beat QPR when, you know, terrible with Holloway. We beat Wigan, bottom of the league. You know, I suppose, like you say, we've won away at Sheffield Wednesday. We did actually win away at Derby in the last days of Pearson as well. I think the bigger issue is, where is it going? And, you know, you've got 34-year-old Douglas in centre midfield still. We don't have a settled front two. The tactics changed from 4-3-2. We had a 3-5-2 for the first time yesterday. So he's throwing a lot of expletive at the wall and seeing what sticks. Whereas most of the teams in, say, the top half kind of know what their strategy is for this season. And, you know, if they're going to make some signings, maybe to just tweak that. But, you know, a strategy would be nice, a settled system. Some young players in, but very different. You know, we were looking at the playoffs this time last year and we're looking downwards now. Yeah, so very, very different.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I just want to ask you a question about one of your young players. I'm sure you probably know who I'm going to ask about. Is it, you pronounce his name, Andre Dozel?
Dozel, yeah.
Does that? What do you think is going to happen to him this year? Because he's played a bit in the first team. Do you think he's going to become one of your more important players? Or do you think that might be sold on?
Well, yesterday, it's strange because he came in last season to this blaze of glory, scored on his full debut. Everyone's comparing him to his dad, Jason Dozel, who you may remember scored when you were chasing United for the title under Keegan, came up to St. James's for Spurs and actually stuck a bit of a dagger in there, Jason Dozel. So we all had these high hopes and we thought this season, okay, he's going to start on the bench and we're going to work him into the team. And he just hasn't had a kick. And we think it's, you know, another example of Mick McCarthy trusting people like Luke Varney, age 35, Leon Best, a free transfer from Rotherham, Jonathan Douglas, have all had more minutes than him. Strangely, he came in to the Wigan game and was sort of substituted 55 minutes. Yesterday, bless him, he was dreadful and it was not his fault at all. He was in a 4-3-2-1, Skews and Douglas both retreating in centre midfield. Kept looking across at the bench for where am I supposed to be? We all want him to be a, you know, inside forward, you know, in a 4-3-3, off the front, something. He still looks neat and tidy when he receives the ball. His passing's a lot more penetrative than all of our other players. There's definitely a player there. But unfortunately, a lot of Ipswich fans think, how is he going to develop in a club where the philosophy is to, you know, hit the big guy, clear up the second ball, press from 30 yards out, you know, three phases of play and give the ball away in every attack. You know, how's he going to develop? There's been obviously big link with Liverpool, although we don't know how much paper talk that was. If I'm André Dzel and I've made two starts this season and the ball's been sailing over my head, I don't know whether I'd want to be there, really. The bigger issue, though, Jake, is Adam Webster, the centre-half, who's a rare championship centre-half who can actually play out and has, you know, more than three passes in his locker. Very, very good player. And he's been linked with Everton and your neighbours, Sunderland. We signed him for £800,000 in the summer, and we think the number would be £5 million, and they wouldn't be able to say no. So, you know, there's danger there of him going as well.
Yeah, that would be a bit of a blow. I know him from his time at Portsmouth. I saw him a few times at Portsmouth, and he was quite a limited centre-back when he came into the Portsmouth team, but he seems like he's developed a lot since then, and he could potentially play in the Premier League one day. So that would be a blow if you lost him. But I just want to ask you, what changes would you like to make in 2017? Like, where would you like to see Ipswich this time next year? Would you think the playoff places, or at least challenging for those playoff places?
It's really hard because we're in this kind of purgatory of being £89 million in debt, and at the AGM they've made it very clear that these teams that splurge 20, 30 million, we're definitely not going to do that. So you kind of think, how are we going to, you know, the only way to clear that debt is to get to the Premier League or, you know, sell up, what have you. And you start to think, how are we going to shoot up that table? And, you know, it would take a massive change of philosophy. My favourite manager, George Burley, used to play a 3-5-2. If Mick can work it, I'd like to see a 3-5-2, which solves the Luke Chambers issue on the right-hand side at centre-half. We could get young players like Josh Emmanuel. He could play in right wing-back. Miles Kenlock could maybe play left wing-back. As you mentioned, André Dzel could play off the front. It's got to the point, though, Jake, where we've discussed on our podcast genuinely about teams like Watford, Norwich, Man City, who have all gone down another division. Been the best team in there, scored loads of goals, won loads of games, got promoted, and then actually shot straight back through. It's got to the point where we're wondering whether, you know, instead of finishing in mid-table for the 15th straight league in the Championship, whether it might even do them better to go down and shoot back up. Obviously, that's ridiculous, and if we didn't have to do that. But you start to wonder, what is going to change here? You know, you get a good player, they get sold on. You sit in mid-table, you flirt with the playoffs or what have you. Obviously, we got in the one time two seasons ago. It's going to take either some incredible arrival, a star player who's going to take the team by themselves, you know, like Hourihan does for Barnsley, say, or maybe Moy for Huddersfield. It's going to take a new manager. So it would be lovely to think, you know, we finished seventh last year. It would be lovely to think, oh, well, you know, one place above. But we're on for under 60 points this year. So it's looking like 15th, 16th, 14th at best. It'd be quite a leap to then go back to the playoffs, especially if people like Webster and Dzel don't stay. But if he builds the team around the young players, then maybe you can look at a team in a couple of years that's really good. But really, it's the philosophy and the playing style from the top of the club that needs a bit of re-energising, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned maybe going down to come back up and progress, because this is quite similar to what happened to Newcastle this year. I guess it's not overly comparable, but there are some similarities you can draw between the two, because we have for many years under Mike Ashley only looked to stay up in the Premier League. There's not been much ambition selling players that once they've, you know, progressed at Newcastle and shown that they can play in the Premier League. Johan Cabaye, Andy Carroll, to name just two. And, you know, boring managerial appointments, Alan Pardew, Steve McLaren, people that are not really going to get us where, maybe not where we should be, but where we should maybe be aiming, maybe challenging in the top half of the Premier League and challenging for cups. That wasn't part of the what Mike actually wanted to do. And the fact that we, you know, we were so close to relegation, he brought in Rafa Benitez, which was one of the craziest things that has ever happened in my time sport. And you can also bring in a Champions League manager who'd just been, you know, been sacked by Real Madrid, came in. And he stayed in the Championship, and now he's been given the money to spend on what he wants to do. There's no board intervention who he can bring in and who he can sell. He's targeting the cup competitions. We're unlucky not to get the semi-final of the EFL Cup. You know, it's been a huge change. And I think that although we're in a lower division now, we're going into 2017 in a much healthier state than we were going into 2016. And I can see the future being very bright. As long as we go up this year, I want to win the league, and I still think we will, even if we went up in second. You know, we've got Benitez, he knows what he's doing, and I'm sure he's going to progress the club. So I guess there's a few similarities you could draw from that.
As a fan, are you enjoying it more this season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's going to always happen with wins, though, isn't it? If you're winning matches, it's always more enjoyable. But
just the energy around the club will be different, won't it?
Yeah, it's completely different. You can see what they're trying to build now, whereas before you couldn't really buy into what they were doing. You didn't know what they were doing. There was not that much communication, whereas there's a lot of it now. The club is so much more open with fans. They've made the online TV channel free to all supporters. It's like little things like that that just make you so much more engaged with what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nodding along to everything you're saying. Of course, I don't want my team to get relegated, but in some ways, you look at the option of another 8-10 seasons just hovering in the middle of the Championship, not able to invest, not able to keep good players. You know, it starts to seem to become a better option. And I heard a Villa fan on 606 yesterday say the same thing. So they, you know, started enjoying football a little bit more. And obviously our neighbours, Norwich, went straight back through. And I think so did Watford. And Man City. A few teams have done two promotions.
Southampton did it.
Southampton, yeah.
So, yeah, it can be done. But then look at what Wigan have done, although maybe Wigan are a smaller club. Than the ones we've mentioned. They went down and they won League One quite comfortably, and now they're struggling in the Championship. But
yeah, I take your point. It'd be interesting to hear the stats on teams of a certain fan base. And I mean, you can have your Sheffield United there who are just kind of stuck down there. And I think Leeds were for a while, weren't they?
Yeah, they were there for a few seasons. And Charlton this season are doing better, even despite, you know, their ownership situation and things. They are winning matches and challenging in the right sort of area. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to them if they manage to get back up. And Bolton, I guess, are another one. Charlton.
Yeah, and Bolton were rotten last season, weren't they? So
yeah, you know. They're playing some really nice stuff this year. So yeah, it can happen, I guess. You don't want that to happen. Obviously, you want to build from where you are now. And look at Fulham, maybe a good example. They were sort of down the bottom half of the Championship the last couple of years, and they've changed their approach, brought in a more forward-thinking manager, you know, targeted players, not on reputation like they did with McCormack, targeted them that they can come in and do a job, and they're doing really well. So they're a good example.
I totally agree. And it's very interesting you say a forward-thinking manager. I don't know how old Jukanovic is, but I know that he's played at the top level in the last, five to 8 years or whatever. And you'd start to wonder, you know, Mick, brilliant, took Ireland to the World Cup. When was that? 2002? So that's 14 years ago. Promoted with Wolves and Sunderland, but that's 6 or 7 years ago. And you look at Jukanovic and you see his midfield rotating around and all the back four comfortable on the ball. And you do maybe start to think, you know, is there some new ideas that this guy isn't coaching, you know, Mick McCarthy, that is, and whether, you know, you can pick somebody up who's, you know, just a bit more with today's game. So, well, hey, I could be wrong about that.
They say the same things about Mourinho at Man United, talking about how maybe he's not as up to date as he was when he was dominating, five to six years ago. So if it can happen, every manager has a lifespan, and McCarthy has been a great Championship manager, but it might be a time to maybe that he's not anymore, and maybe.
Well, and Jake as well. Sorry to cut you off. Mourinho has been very much accused of insulating himself with the same guys. Well, McCarthy's had Terry Connor with him for 10 years or what have you as well. Maybe they just need to. I can't see Mick doing it, but a different coach, or you know, just some new, you know, vibrancy coming in. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll just move on to the next set of fixtures before we wrap up today. You've got a home game against Bristol City, like you mentioned earlier. I guess this is one that you will want to take something from. Are you confident?
No. So we played Bristol City. This is the weird one where you played them like 3-4 weeks ago and all of a sudden you've got them again. Bristol City have lost 7 games out of 8. And guess who their one win against was against, Jake?
Ipswich.
It was against Ipswich 4 weeks ago, yeah. So, we think Flint has got our number a bit, the big centre-half from the corner. Freeman's a very good player. Tomlin is tricky and our defenders are fairly slow. I happen to think their manager is not very good. When I hear him interviewed, he doesn't sound like the sort of guy who is convincing me that he's an intelligent football mind. So I hope I'm right about that. And wily old Mick can, maybe get a win by one goal. Obviously, Abraham is a very fast striker and apparently scores most of his goals in away games. So there's some weird sequence going at the moment where we've gone defeat, win, defeat, draw, defeat, win, defeat. And it's definitely going to be draw. Although it'd be nice to have 4 points from Bristol City and QPR. But yeah, we just, it really was bad against Fulham. So you just want to see them string some passes together, look like a football team, and then work from there. You know, hopefully some goals and some clean sheets, and then the wins come after that. But they really looked in disarray. Just I hope that Fulham are in a really good moment and they're a good side, and Bristol City just aren't anywhere near as good.
Yeah, I think you might get a win in this one, even if it's a scrapey win, just to give Mick McCarthy a bit more job security. But yeah,
he seems to do that, doesn't he? Right at the moment of, he's definitely going to be out if he loses this one, and then he wins.
<You know? laughs> Reminds me of Pardew when he was Newcastle manager, in very similar. But we've got a home game against Nottingham Forest, who of course beat us a few weeks ago. Even though we had 9 men, it took them about, God knows how long to get the 2 goals. So that gave me a bit of confidence to think they're not a very good team. So I think, you know, we're going to be a bit more, we'll be up for it. And we'll want to bounce back after that defeat and, you know, get a win to put pressure on Brighton. So I think we'll probably get that. I don't think it's going to be a great win. I think without Shelby in the team, we maybe lack the footballing ability that we had with him in it. So I think it's not going to be great to watch, but I can see Gale getting a goal and maybe somebody else getting a goal from a set piece, maybe Lascelles or somebody like that, and it would be like a 2-0 win. It would be quite routine, and I think we should get that, hopefully. And if we don't, then maybe concerns will grow on time. So, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think we'll get the win. But yeah, with that, we're now out of time. So Ben, if you'd just like to tell people where they can reach you.
Yeah, sure. So I'm at Benjamin Bloom on Twitter. More importantly, the Ipswich Town podcast drops every Monday. It's the Blue Monday podcast at Blue Monday ITFC. We do love it when fans of other clubs listen. So if your team is playing Ipswich at any point, give us a listen, give us a tweet. And if it's clean, we'll read it out.
Yeah, you could get my Twitter account at Jake Jackman with 2 N's. I wrote for EPL Index and The Boot Room, Newcastle 360 as well, so check all those sites out. We'll be back after the New Year's Day fixtures, hopefully with a slightly extended podcast than today. Hopefully we won't have any problems with that. But just thanks so much for listening, guys, and we hope you tune in again soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.